What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Hello everyone, how are we? Welcome to What the Health. As you can probably hear, this isn't Gabby, but it is in fact Sam Sardet. Some of you might recognise my Essex twang from the show The Apprentice this year, but I'm also the mummy motivator on Instagram. For a lot of mums that might recognise me, I do pre and postnatal fitness, and that is why I'm so excited to be joining as a host on today's show. So today we're just going to be having a lovely little chat with some amazing guests, health and fitness wise, facts, myths, lots of bits and bobs that we're going to go over, and I'm so excited. So today we have got Lucy Reeves, content creator, and Emma Mumford, award-winning life coach. But first up, I have got fellow pre and postnatal fitness coach, Lauren Madden. How are you, Lauren? Thank you for joining me.
I'm good, thanks. Good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you so much. I see you're in the car.
I've had to ditch my baby.
No, and I get that so much.
I'm onto the car where it's quiet.
Exactly. No, I get that. It's like the only place that you can have a bit of peace and quiet. I get that. So thank you for coming on anyway. Obviously, you are a pre-postnatal fitness coach, much like myself as well. We're going to do a little few myth busters today and have a chat with you just sort of like over the myths over exercise during pregnancy, postpartum. So first and foremost, talk to me, before becoming a mum, how did you get into fitness coaching yourself?
So I was actually, I love going to the gym. That was just normal for me. And then I was a Pilates instructor. So that's originally how I started. I was just doing classes. And then sort of lockdown happened. And obviously, as you know, I'm sure everyone sort of went on to online classes. They wanted to keep fit and active at home, and I was actually, for me, that was sort of the time to try and get pregnant, and so I sort of was training at home, but I remember sort of feeling like I want to get my body into the best shape I possibly can before falling pregnant. So I sort of was doing my Pilates, but then I got into loads of different kinds of exercises, obviously going to the gym pre-lockdown, and then obviously lockdown hit, everything became on home. So I was just doing basically workouts from home, really. But that was how I sort of started into fitness. And then I remember just thinking, I'm going to get pregnant. But it was just such a grey area of like, right, what do you do? How can you exercise? I'm in a great position now. My body's in a great place pre-baby. What do I do now I'm pregnant, kind of thing? So that was kind of then the change up in sort of my career and where it went. I wanted to kind of train and keep my training up as much as I could. I knew the benefits of training, but I'm sure as you and so many of us are aware, it's such a grey area of what you can and do, what you can't do. Someone says this, someone else says don't do this. It's such a scary.
So now it's time to answer a few fitness questions from my lovely listeners today. So obviously we've tried to keep it kind of pre and postnatal related. First and foremost, we have one of them. My abs are so weak after having baby. What is the best way to build it back? And do you know what? I always find it is a hard one, because particularly after having your little one, you have to make sure that you haven't got, it's really common to have ab separation. You need to make sure you go and visit your doctor before you go and do any core related exercises. Because if you go straight in and you go into exercise, you're doing sit-ups and everything else, all those ab muscle workouts, you could cause more damage than it's worth. So the best way is to go and visit your doctor, make sure that it's all safe, and you're all good to go there, and then just keep it low impact to start with. Take it easy, slight sit-ups, make sure that you follow a safe workout routine with, you know, a pre and postnatal fitness coach as well. And as time goes on, I promise you, the more you focus on those abs, they will get stronger and stronger. Lauren, hello.
Hi. Sorry.
No, it's fine. That's fine. No, we've just done a little filler question there. I'm absolutely with you on that one, with relating to, you know, getting into fitness, and more so when you decide you want to be a mum. That's how I got into my fitness as well. And it's like, It almost seems mad, doesn't it? It's like, why? I think a lot of people, and this is one a myth that a lot of people get, and I get it a lot myself. Well, I'm going to have a baby now. I'm going to fall pregnant. I don't really need to exercise. They relate exercise and fitness to being skinny or, you know, losing. And it's absolutely like it should be used for the absolute reverse. And I think it is. Yeah. For me personally, I wanted to, like you, I wanted to be strong for my pregnancy and for my mental health. So, I mean, do you feel like that is why you kind of specialise in your pre and postnatal now? Like, is that kind of where your passion lies within fitness now?
Absolutely. I think, like, as well, for me, I'm a big believer that training throughout your pregnancy, you know, you're basically preparing for the biggest workout of your life. In labor,
so
like,
true.
Let's be honest,
so true.
No one can prepare you, so it's like any work you can do before, you know, is going to help towards that. And I think for me as well, as you said, mentally in pregnancy, you know, you can't eat this, you can't do that, you can't, you know, there's so many things. Your body's changing so much. You've got a completely different body image, and so for your mind to be able to do something that you know already and your body is used to, it does give you that little bit of, oh, I can, you know, that is me, that's what I'm good at, that's what I can do. I can go and, you know, de-stress and, you know, burn calories, yes, but that's not what it's about. It's just about maintaining, you know, feeling good, feeling healthy. I remember I had such bad sickness with both of my girls, and I remember working out, although I didn't feel like doing it, the minute I did it, whether it was my mind taking me to somewhere else, I don't know, but the sickness was like gone. And it was just like, it's amazing to just for half an hour, just feel normal, you know, to be able to work out and feel good. And I think, you know, obviously I'm a personal trainer now as well with women. And I think as well, it's like sharing that knowledge to make them feel reassured.
Absolutely.
And make them feel like, you know, as you said, working out shouldn't be like, oh gosh, should I be working out? Like, yes, absolutely. Like, you want to create the best home for your baby to be in. So, you know, working out is the best option if you can, you know. Yeah. If you're able to.
I definitely. And I think as well, postpartum, again, it's a lot of mums, they think, oh my god, you know, we've got a new, particularly with your first one, I've got a newborn, how on earth am I going to keep active? How can I, you know, again, I feel like mental health wise, massively helps. But of course, people also want to, you know, get, you know, kind of get used to their new bodies. And I always say it's not necessarily about, you know, trying to get your old body back or trying to get trim again. It's about embracing your new body, but feeling good in that and feeling strong in that. But I think the main myth with it is, well, you can't work out now, you can't exercise now because I'm too busy, I've got the kids, it's too much.
Yeah.
And I think we work it up, a lot of mums, they work it up in their heads. But like you said, it's 20, 30 minutes of the day. You can do it at home, you can do it around the kids. And I think the main thing I think we get as pre and postnatal, and I don't know if you get this as well, is like, well, first and foremost, when can you start working out after you have your little one? Like, a lot of people think they have to wait such a long time. Is, you know, what's the roadmap that you usually tell your clients?
So I mean, as you said, everyone is so different. And obviously it does depend what kind of place you've been in. So whether you've worked out during your pregnancy, I worked out throughout both my pregnancies. And obviously what kind of labor you have, that obviously determines it as well. But if everything is as well as it can be, obviously your body has been for a huge trauma through childbirth, but usually we say if you've had a normal delivery and everything's gone well, 6 to 8 weeks. But some women are ready a lot earlier than that. Some women, I always encourage my clients, try and go for a walk, like even for your, more so for your mental health than anything, try and do some walks. And don't underestimate that buggy. Pushing the buggy up a hill is a workout.
The best workout. That's the best exercise there is.
So,
yeah.
And especially if you've got another one as well, riding on, standing on.
That's me.
I always say 6 to 8 weeks for, like, you know, normal recovery time. But then obviously if you've had C-section, it can be a lot longer. It can be 8 to 10 weeks. And you may not be ready during that time, you may need a lot longer, but you could also always start with gentle stretching. Again, as I said, don't underestimate the buggy, but you're picking up that baby every single day.
Yeah.
If you've got another one, I've got a 3-year-old as well, who sometimes likes to be picked up and carried. So, you know, it's like, that's the workout as well. So it's like, although you are advised to wait that time, I remember with Riley, my second child, at 3 weeks, I just wanted to do something for my body. I just wanted to move. So I just did like mobility and stretching, and that felt amazing. 15 minutes, you know, out of your day. And it felt good. So everyone is different, but those are sort of guidelines just to sort of be safe. And you know your body more than anyone else. So just be aware of that. You know, you can always check with your midwife as well.
Absolutely. So just as an overall, during pregnancy, I think work out, if people want to work out during their pregnancy, what would you advise them on sort of how to work out differently?
So there's a few things. People think that if you haven't worked out pre-baby, you can't start working out while you're pregnant. You can. You just need to be obviously guided by the right person. So, you know, following a pre and postnatal workout. And it changes from each trimester. But for the first trimester, although you may not be, I actually felt the worst in my first trimester, but first trimester, you may not be feeling like yourself, but you're actually good to keep going as you have been, if you have been working out. So try and keep up with what you have been doing. Second trimester, it changes up a little bit. You'll need to make modifications, i.e. you can't lay on your back for prolonged periods of times. You know, you may want to drop down your weights a little bit if you've been lifting weights. You are still perfectly safe to carry on lifting weights. I lifted weights the whole way throughout my pregnancy, but it's just obviously doing it in a safe way. If you're struggling with things like sciatica, then that's obviously a different ball game. You need to maybe modify. You might want to take out single leg exercises. There's everyone's quite individual, but for the most part, you are good to keep going. The only thing really that you need to be aware of is your heart rate. So you may need extra rest time. I don't know about you, but I found walking up the stairs, I could not even breathe.
No, I'm exactly, yeah, I so feel it. And I think, like you said, if you've got the second one anyway, you're lifting weights during your pregnancy anyway, and the third, and, you know, if people go on and on. But honestly, I do think overall, you know, it's inspirational just to see, like yourself, like we're both mums of two. And I think, if, you know, we're showing mums they can do it. If they're feeling well up for it and they want to do it themselves, it's possible. And I think that's the main thing. But thank you so much for coming on, Lauren.
Pleasure.
I really appreciate it. And wish you well with everything. Any other babies anymore?
Gosh, not yet. Give me a shot. Not yet.
Agreed.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
No worries. Take care. Bye. Right, so now we are going to be chatting about my exercise of the week. Obviously, like I said before, I'm pre and postnatal, but naturally, my exercise of the week are Kegels. So anyone that doesn't know what a Kegel is, it's a pelvic floor exercise. So it's strengthening those pelvic floors. Yes, it's so beneficial to do during pregnancy and once you've had your little one because of the strain it puts it on. But little did you know, it's also fantastic and beneficial for women and men to be doing these as well. There's a lot of benefits to keep that lower half strong, and you can do these so simply at home. There's lots of different variations of it. You can do them on the floor, doing hip thrusts. You can just do it day to day. You can do it while you're sitting at your desk in the office, give it a little pelvic floor squeeze, and honestly, the benefits are fantastic no matter what you're doing in life, men and women. I always feel like Kegels, exercise of the week, exercise of the year, exercise of your life. And we're going to go to a quick break and then we're going to join with Lucy Reeves.
FUBAR Radio presents
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Joining me now, I have Claire Seal, who is a content creator and author.
You know, I think there's loads of shame when it comes to money and financial difficulty, but I honestly think that that shame is really a symptom of the judgment that exists in society. I don't think that people are feeling ashamed for the sake of it. I think they're feeling ashamed because you can't really sort of open your phone or open a newspaper without seeing these huge judgments piled on people who've made mistakes with money. And I think it's acceptable for people to slag you off about being bad with money in a way that it might not be for like other mistakes that you might make.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani.
Let's bring in Tobias Elwood, former defence minister.
Rishi Sunak has done well to pivot us back, taking us into far calmer political waters.
Has he taken you back into calmer political waters? I mean, you're on track, according to some of the polls, to the largest wipeout in years and, you know, may never return from it. I mean, how has he taken you back into calmer political waters?
We've just seen inflation go down to 2%. Confidence in business is returning.
But is that down to Rishi Sunak?
You've got to let me finish the question. You keep asking me a question and then throwing another question in.
I'm just curious to know, is inflation down to Rishi Sunak?
What the Health with Gabby Allen.
I have the stunning Steph Williams with me now, founder of the We Glow app. I did turf games on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And it was horrible. It was horrible. But it was so fun. But it was like savage, right? Yeah. But I wasn't the best in the room and I hate that. And I was like, oh, God, I haven't trained like well enough for this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I don't normally think I am. But then when I was there, I was like, this is so annoying because... Yeah. And then I was like... Why do I actually need to be good at this though? Yeah. Like, can I not just do it for fun?
But also, it's like when I've done like casts and stuff before, and the blokes were like, lift that heavier weight, and I'm like, no, like I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't need to lift the heavier weight. Like, I know what I'm capable of. I know what works for my body.
Yeah.
And I think it's just kind of, like, I know what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And ultimately, if you're working out to feel good, you're gonna look good.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Right, we are back, and right now we have Lucy Reeves with us, content creator. And hello, Lucy, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm well. I love your glasses, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Fellow specs wearer, I love that. So, yeah, welcome to the show. Obviously, you can see my name's Sam. I'm filling in for Gabby today, and I have, just to warm you up, a few quickfire questions. So, are you ready? Just whatever comes to your head, just say whatever it comes. Three words to describe yourself.
Happy, motivational and caring.
Love that. Absolutely love that. Upper or lower body day?
Upper at the moment.
Love that. Love that. Workout or in the morning or in the evening?
I used to be an evening girl, but I'm now a morning girly.
Yeah, I agree. Get up, get it done. Yep.
Yeah. I used to love it in the evening, but that's when I was a student, so.
Yeah. This is a good one. What is your go-to cheat meal? It's probably a hard one as well.
To be honest with you, I don't really have cheat meals per se, but a load of sushi, like one of those all-you-can-eat sushis.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Got to agree on that one. Dream workout partner. Who would be your dream workout partner?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know because I have so many like people that I look up to a lot. I would say probably at the moment, Lucy Davis.
Love that.
She's insane.
And finally, what is your workout anthem, like any kind of tune or anything that you're loving right now that gets you going?
Right, okay. Get Your Head in the Game by High School Musical.
Oh my God, I love that. That is brilliant. Listen, everyone's different, right? It's got to be personal to you. So I love that. So we know
it doesn't faze me. It always gets me back in the mood.
That is brilliant. I feel like I know you already now. I kind of get what kind of person you are. Love that. So let's just go back, strip it back. Obviously, you're into fitness, you do your content creating. Stripping it back, how did you first get into fitness?
I've been a sporty kid my whole life, realistically. I was a dancer for 13 years,
oh, wow.
I think. But when I was younger, I swam, did athletics, danced, and then just did general PE at school. So it was sort of like a linear process. I wanted to go pro with dancing at one point, but that industry is just too not for me.
Yeah, no, I know, I know.
So I, when I left school, I then... was like, okay, I can't dance. My dance classes was sort of like at the peak of 16, and then also had to like work, you know, Thursday night jobs or whatever. So I just started going to the gym, and we've flourished from there. So it's sort of gone from classes being taught when you were younger to like self-taught when you're an adult.
Love that. And you actually really enjoyed the sports, because I always find like when I was younger, it was my mum going to me, you know, right, put you in that class, put you in that class. And now I'm a mum, I'm like, I don't want to force my kids into any sports classes. But I feel like when you're younger and you really actually love doing it, it's like different. It ignites it from an early stage. Like, did you feel like you just wanted to just do all these sports as a young?
Yeah. I mean, it was a mixture of both. Like, my mum is very sporty, and I come from a single household. So my brother is very competitive. Me and my brother were very competitive growing up. So it was sort of like, okay, well, if you're going to do all that stuff, I'm going to do it as well. Like, and I'll do it and I'll be better and I'll be faster.
I love you. That.
But yeah, no, I think I was definitely encouraged by my parents to be active, to be sporty, but I've always loved, I loved dancing so much when I was younger, and I loved athletics. So, but I was a short distance girly then. I'm not short distance girly now. I'm a long distance girly.
Oh, how fun is that? It does change though, doesn't it? So
yeah,
you were previously into bodybuilding. How do you feel like that form of exercise then kind of affected your relationship with your body? Because I mean, I've looked on your Instagram and I just absolutely love what you advocate for. I'm all for it. So, I mean, obviously you've gone from dancing to this. You've gone into bodybuilding, which I mean is a, you know, we'll kind of talk about how you got into that. But just looking on your Instagram stuff, how do you feel like that style of your relationship with your body?
I mean, so like, I don't want to diss on bodybuilding because I think there's definitely like some positive aspects of it, and it didn't ruin my life. I took a lot of knowledge away from it. I now have a very deep understanding of like my body, foods, and like how to build muscle, how to be strong. But there is a world of bodybuilding that one side of it for me definitely wasn't healthy, and that was just this constant want for improvement, constantly needing to be smaller or then bigger and then smaller. And then it was sort of like your sole focus on if you were doing well or not was how you looked, and then food became something that I didn't like enjoy. And it wasn't like, okay, let me have some energy. It was okay, I need to do this and this to hit these targets to be able to look like that, you know. I was never looking at going on stage either. It's just on social media, I think once you leave school and you're into sport, you're sort of like, okay, how do I transition this into my adult life? How do I still become sporty and, you know, do that stuff? So you turn to the gym, and then gym culture definitely pushes you in a direction of bodybuilding. And you sort of eat and train like people you're looking at online that are competing in bodybuilding shows, even though you're never going to compete yourself. And you sort of live the exact same lifestyle thinking that you're going to look like that. And it just ruined my self-esteem. I couldn't imagine see my physique for anything more than like something that needed to be smaller, in order to be seen as either successful or pretty or athletic, you know. And someone was like, oh, you look really like, you're really into sport. I'm like, okay, thank you. So I sort of fueled the fire, yeah, and kept going and then just ate less and less. And it just ruined my confidence. I remember saying to my partner at one point, we were on the train on the way back from London, and I said, I just couldn't imagine what it would be like to just not think about the calorie intake that's in food. Like, I just, even if I wasn't consciously looking at it, I was sort of adding it up subconsciously in my head. And I said to him, I just couldn't imagine what it would be like just to not think about it. And it was just like an unhealthy obsession that I was sort of unconsciously, like, out of control of.
So I think that's the thing. Like, obviously, like you said, you've come out of school, you're thinking, right, what goes? You go to the gym, you see all these aesthetically, you know, I'm saying this in quotation marks, aesthetically pleasing people. You've just kind of fallen into the bodybuilding thing. But I think, I mean, I don't know sort of like how old you are now, but obviously as you've gone on, you're now, for what you advocate for, and I feel like a lot of influencers are now starting to do this, which I absolutely love, especially if I have two young girls, like just showing that you can, because I look at your Instagram and you look so strong. I could never lift weights like that. I'm into my fitness, but I do my home workouts. And, you know, I'm all about sort of teaching mums that it's not about how you look, it's how you feel. And I think you look fantastic, but you're also so strong and, you know, you look so happy. And I think that's what we want to advocate for. And I think, do you feel like the perception is changing around girls for the gym, lifting weights, compared to sort of like how obviously you've got into it? Do you feel like that is changing?
I think so. I think what we need to remember as well is that social media has such a large impact on everybody at all times, but the younger generation that we are seeing now are consuming social media a lot more than like I was, for example, when I was 15, 16, 13, whatever. And the fact that social media is now showing females doing these cool things, I think will have a really wide impact on like the next generation of girls coming up and hopefully squashing some of the issues that we had. But I'm similar to you. I'm more of an advocate. I'm not an advocate for like gym or running. I'm an advocate for like, when did we stop doing sport just because we enjoyed how it made us feel or we enjoyed the sport itself? There doesn't have to be like, I feel like anyone as an adult just goes to the gym to tick a box and comes home and they're like, right, I've been to the gym now. So, okay, no, you could go play tennis. You go for a walk. It's just more about like finding movement that makes you feel good and like happy. Like you were saying, running and lifting weights makes me happy, but I've recently started swimming because I really enjoy swimming. It makes me happy. But it's not now to look a certain way. It's just a feeling that you're chasing. And I think that's what social media is pushing now more, yeah. You know, and I think that's the shift that we're having, is that sport and movement doesn't have to be to look a certain way, but it's to feel a certain way.
Yes, I could not agree more. And I absolutely love that. So talk us through your Girls That Lift platform.
Right. Yeah. So I've got a Facebook page, that is primarily for girls that lift. Now, it started as something for people that are primarily in the gym. Now, that is simply just because of where I come from, the background, the understanding I have, that how daunting it can be as a female in the gym space, because like it's still predominantly male orientated. So much stuff that we see online is still primarily male orientated, even though there is like a sprinkle of female strength in there. It's still very much a male space, and it can be really daunting to step into the weight section as a female. I've spoken to so many of my friends online and offline that's like, I just really can't get into the gym. I couldn't imagine getting off the treadmill and stepping and lifting some weights. Like, it's just absolutely petrifying. So I wanted there to be a sort of communal space where we can all talk online from wherever we are in the world, whenever we want, about asking for advice and sort of eliminating the rubbish that's in the fitness industry still, because there's still so much of it floating around. And people ask questions on our page and they're like, this isn't right. And people in the comments are like, no, that's false information. That's not right. And we're sort of whistling it out by sort of using a group community aspect. And it's not just about weight loss. So much of the Facebook groups I was looking at for fitness were literally orientated all about weight loss, which again, isn't something that a lot of people are focusing on these days. It's more like strength and happiness and that sort of thing. So that's our aim, is just to sort of help girls feel like there's a community in the strength.
Yes. And do you know what? I absolutely love that, because I feel that too. I am a home workout girl through and through. The thought of going to the gym, I would love to lift weights, but the thought of going to the gym and lifting weights in front of all the blokes, couldn't think of anything worse. So I think that is amazing what you do, creating that community. So just to finalise, what is the biggest piece of fitness advice that you could that you've learned and that you could give to maybe anyone that maybe wants to get into fitness or get into lifting, getting into, particularly for women? What would be your biggest advice that you've learned and could give?
I would definitely say chase the feeling rather than chasing a physique. That's my biggest thing. I shifted, chasing a physique, chasing a feeling, you know, that happy endorphin thing, the I'm free, I'm strong, I'm powerful, I can do this, I can do whatever I want. There's no limit to it. And it's not so orientated about the way you look. It's more the feeling that you get from it.
I love that. And in your Instagram bio, it says, so in you're inspiring girls to be confident and strong in their bodies. Do you hope that, I literally looking at your Instagram, I'm inspired kind of thing. And then like obviously talking to you now, I think, yes, I'm into fitness. I think everyone's into fitness differently. But do you feel like the posts that you do, obviously you do it because you enjoy it, but that's to inspire. Like, do you feel like that inspires others? Like, do you feel like that you achieve that through your posts? Is that what your aim is?
Yeah. My aim with social media was never for it to become like a thing where I made money from it, or it wasn't like, okay, I want to do this, I'm going to climb a ladder or whatever like that. It was just because I want to help other girls feel powerful and strong and confident in their bodies. And also, I really want to like break the circle of this. We're growing up, we're sort of grown up like, oh yeah, movement's fun, blah, blah, blah. And then you become an adult and females just go back to, okay, well, I need to lose weight for summer and I just need to do that. And I really want to break the cycle for young women. So I'm hoping that people seeing, like young girls, especially seeing content like the stuff I post will help them realise that there is so much more to life than just a physique.
And I do feel like, as that's exactly it, and I feel like as you are, you know, a fitness influencer, you're still young yourself, you obviously, like you said, you've got that community there. You want to show that young girls, but I think just women in general, just to have someone like that, I feel like I inspire a lot of mums to go and work out differently. And then, like you said, there's so many different sports and everything that you can do. And I think it is important to post realistic stuff like you do. And I think, is that for you, when you go, right, okay, I'm going to post something today or I'm going to do something today, is it really important just to keep it real? Like, you want to keep it real, want to keep it realistic, like that's your goal?
Yeah, because I think so much of what we see everywhere is just completely unrealistic. Like, if you go online for 5 seconds, you can see unrealistic houses, unrealistic cleanliness from these beautiful clear kitchen sides, which just don't look like that and aren't reflected in reality, you know. And you can see physiques that, you know, you don't actually know if someone is happy looking like that. When someone would have looked at me a few years ago, they would have might have been more inspired by my physique then, but I was my most miserable, most unhappy. So it's one of those things that you just sort of keep it real so that people understand that what you're seeing online and how you feel in real life, they're two different worlds, but the person online is still a real person, you know. And we still have messiness, we still have, you know, family issues. My mum literally came out of hospital yesterday, you know. We still have, everybody has these things that are real life. Just because if you're not seeing it doesn't mean that you're weird, because your life doesn't look like theirs. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think that people can relate so much more when you keep it real, and that's going to inspire people more. So we'll finish up with another last question. Do you think that your experience within the industry has affected sort of the change in relationship with exercise and body image? Like, so like you personally, when you hit that point where you were like saying to your partner, like, I can't count calories anymore or anything like that. Do you think that was going through that bodybuilding, that's the reason that you kind of got to where you are today? Like, it's kind of like, you know, all learning curves. I suppose people have to learn their own way. But without that, do you think you would have got to where you are today with that? Or do you think you've always...
Yeah, I mean, so like that was a very like important part of my journey. But for me, I sort of hit rock bottom. I lost my granddad and I was sort of providing end of life care for him. And in that moment, my grandma was bringing me cookies and I was thinking to myself, oh, I can't eat those. Like, I'll be over my macros today, whatever. And you know, when you sit there and it was at that moment, my granddad was literally laying on the bed next to me, his final few days on the planet. And I was like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
This is too much. Yeah. This is too extreme. Like, this is ridiculous. And it was one of those such a stark reality moments that it looks you in the face and it sort of confronts you that you think, I can't do this anymore. There is so much more to life. And then I went to his funeral. Not one person mentioned his physique or his body or his face or his hair, or, you know, they were like, oh, he was such a happy man. Oh, he made me feel so nice. I remember this moment. I remember that moment. And I was thinking, there are so many moments that I wasn't present for, or I didn't attend because I was worried about the food, or, you know, I needed to hit like a workout or whatever. And it's at that moment you think, okay, there's more to life than just that moment. So yes, bodybuilding was an essential part. And I still implement those training techniques that I learned in that moment into now, but it doesn't rule my life anymore, because I've realized there's more to life than just looking a certain way and training.
Absolutely. And it is sad because, yeah, okay, I think, you know, sports are sports and everyone has, you know, wants to train a certain way and has passions, and I'm sure there's a lot of bodybuilders that absolutely love it, enjoy it. But I think it is so important, and like you've demonstrated, that life is too short. And if you're doing bodybuilding and you're not particularly enjoying it and you're not living your life the way you want to live it, or any kind of sports that you're doing, there's what is the point in doing it? If you want to be fit, you know, you want to be doing fitness, you want to be keeping healthy in yourself. And that's what it's about. It's about having the happiness, isn't it? Having happiness in what you're doing, keeping fit mainly in your mind. And I'm sure that's where, you know, you have such a happy, you know, we're going to have good days, bad days. But I think if you've got such a happy relationship with fitness, like you do and like you demonstrate on your platform, it's going to motivate people to go and do the same.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you're honestly, you're inspirational. And I really hope that you continue to inspire, especially young women of today that want to get into the fitness, because I mean, you've inspired me. I probably still won't go to the gym because I'm such a homebod, but I would absolutely, I think it's great what you're doing. So yeah, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. Right. So after this, we're going to have a little break now. We're going to be joined by Emma Mumford, an award-winning life coach.
FUBAR Radio presents
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
Joining me in the studio was AJ and Curtis Pritchard.
When I used to go on Strictly, I used to think of it as like a public service. I'm entertaining somebody for 90
seconds. And we salute you.
And
thank
just like,
you, AJ.
I want people to forget about their problems. I know it's a really weird mentality.
No, it's you are right in a way, right? Because there
well,
are
never
people
made
that
the final.
Yeah, there was no need for that.
What the Health with Gabby Allen.
I'm joined by fellow Love Island contestant Adam Maxted and professional wrestler, may I add. If you could wrestle any celebrity, who would it be?
I'm trying to think who would be.
Someone needs to be like your height, your size. Come on, you've got to be fair about it. It can't be like a little weasel.
Maybe like Anthony Joshua or something.
Jesus, really? Yeah. You reckon you could take Anthony Joshua?
In a boxing fight, probably not.
But in a wrestling match, yeah.
In a wrestling match, I back myself.
Okay, fair.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
TikTok sensations Jack and Sorrel. Iconically, there have been some amazing celeb couples. Who would be your favourite of all times?
David Beckham and Victoria.
Girls.
I just think, like, the twists and turns of it all, but still being together like that, that to me is peak celeb.
For me, do you know what? I just love a good power couple. We had Beyonce, Jay-Z. Like,
yes.
I want them to reign highly. I want them to be girl bossing, man bossing, just bossing throughout, and us obsessed with them separately and together.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents.
Hello, and we are back, and we have the lovely Emma Mumford, who is an award-winning life coach. Hello, Emma, how are you?
Hi, Sam, I'm doing good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. So talk to me. You are a life coach. Talk to me more about your work as a life coach, like what, how you got into it, like what you do day to day. I'm so intrigued.
So I would call myself more of a manifestation expert rather than just the kind of umbrella of life coach. But I came across life coaching back in 2016 when I had my spiritual awakening and I found the law of attraction and manifestation. And at the time, I had a very different business to what I do now. I had a business that was helping people save money and coupon. I was known as the coupon queen here in the UK. So very different to what I do now. And I realized as I learned more about manifestation and, you know, how I could transform my own life, that, you know, I could help other people do that as well. And I kind of shifted from helping people save money and coupon into helping all areas of their life. So, yeah, I help people manifest their dreams, learn about the law of attraction and manifestation, the inner work as well, if there's any limiting beliefs or fears or blocks. So it's very interesting. It always keeps me on my toes. And I love how life coaching can help people in so many different things. It's wonderful.
Do you know what? I'm very new to the whole manifestation thing, but I do believe in it, and I feel like there's something there. I'm really new to it, and I'm sure that a lot of people are, but it's so intriguing. So talk to me, what exactly is manifestation? How does it work?
Yeah, so a lot of people have probably heard the word. I always joke to my partner that I can't watch a TV show now without someone saying, I manifested it, or I'm manifesting it. So, you know, 9 years ago when I first came across it, you know, no one was talking about it. So it's wonderful to see it so mainstream now and so many people connecting to it. So the law of attraction is what it's formally known as. And that is one of the seven energetic laws of the universe. So it's the notion that like attracts like. So what we put out into the universe is what comes back to us. So I always love to use the example of, you know, we have those days where something frustrating happens and we go and text a friend, you'll be like, you never guess what's happened. And we go and text another friend and then something else happens. And by the end of the day, you're thinking like, I am so ready for a bottle of wine. I am done. And on the flip side, we've had those days where something positive's happened and we've gone and shared it, or a win's happened and we go and share that. And by the end of the day, you feel like, wow, it's just been my lucky day. Like all these amazing things have happened. So this is the law of attraction in really simple action. But essentially, it's that our thoughts, our words, our energy creates our reality, so that you can manifest whatever your heart desires into your life, whether that's career, whether that's a relationship, whether that's house, whether that's a holiday, whether that's money. But we can also manifest emotions too. So maybe you want to manifest healing, maybe you want to manifest feeling joy or happiness. So yeah, there's no limits to what you can manifest. But when people say they are manifesting, what they mean is that they are the creators of their life and they're bringing these amazing opportunities and experiences into their life.
So when you say, man, obviously there must be different ways to do it. I mean, how do you find that you got into it, what was best for you? Did you write things down, or do you know, is there ways of people really getting into it, and is it different for everyone? Like, how do you think works best for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's really important to address here, is that it is different for everybody, because I think a lot of the old school teachings and the kind of generic, shall we say, things that you can start off with, like you say, writing things down or visualization, creating a vision board, saying these, you know, desires or goals out loud, are all forms of asking. They're all forms of manifesting. But it's what works for you. For me personally, I can't think of anything worse than sitting down and visualizing my goals every day. But for some people, they would absolutely love that. So I think it's really defining what brings you joy and what feels expansive for you. So if you're doing something and you're writing or saying affirmations and it doesn't feel great, then yeah, that's probably not your manifesting superpower, and I'd probably try something different. So the best place to start is just write them down or declare them. You know, I love writing an annual goals list of the things that I would like to manifest in 2024, for example, and it's definitely not too late to do that. Even halfway through the year, you can still do that now. So yeah, write them down. What do you want to achieve? What do you want to call into your life?
So, I mean, I think there's lots of different, obviously, like you're saying, there's lots of different ways to manifest. And I suppose it's finding what works best for you. And what are your thoughts on, is it a 369 manifestation method? Talk me through.
I think it's 365. I'm not sure.
365, 369. I'm just being, you know, as I said, I'm so new to this. Do you feel like, what are your thoughts on that method?
There are so many methods out there, Sam. Honestly, I feel like I go on TikTok and there's like a whole new method.
So oh, really?
For me, 365 or 369, whatever it is very similar to like the 55 times 5 method, where you'll basically write down your desire 55 times over the next 5 days, which I tried back in 2016. And my arm, I can tell you, was aching so much every day. And I didn't manifest what I was writing down because I was so bored. It was not fun. It was draining. It felt like a chore. So yeah. It's important to, you know, the only way you're going to find out what works for you and what feels good is by trying these methods, right? So if you see these methods online, if you read it in a book, give it a go. And then you're soon going to find out whether that feels good, whether you see results with it. But yeah, I can't remember if it's 369 or 365, but it's one of the more older teachings, definitely. But yeah, I do love them and I think they're definitely needed, but I think it's more finding what works for you. And yeah, giving them a try.
Absolutely. And I think the thing for me is, it's like you said, you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. And I suppose for me, I suppose I've, without even realizing, I manifest all the time throughout my life. And I've manifested things like, even like, you know, it's, I think I sometimes I sit and I'm like, oh my God, like what I'm doing right now is what I wanted to do like 5 years ago. And you don't even realize that you're half doing it. And I think it, but then if you are having bad days, it's hard to stay kind of positive in your head. And if it's not happening for you, it's like, no, it's not happening, not happening. Before you know it, it has happened. But I suppose, what is the importance with your kind of connecting that, you know, staying positive in your mind, connecting kind of mind and body, and like that mind and body, how is there like a way to like keep that strong, keep that positive? Like, what would you say when, and I'm going all around the houses here with this, but it's like basically keeping people strong and positive, because before you know it, you've manifested it. So like getting through those hard days, and like how do you cope with days like that and keep on going, basically?
Yeah, and it's a really good question, because I think so many of us feel like that along the process of, you set those intentions, you go along the path, and you think, well, where is it? Like, do I just keep believing? And, you know, a lot of the time it's keeping that trust and keeping that belief that it is on its way. And I think, like you said so beautifully, there's so many examples in our life where we can look back and say, gosh, like, maybe you weren't even consciously manifesting, but you did actually manifest that into your life, and you used to talk about it, or you used to write it down. And there's so many instances where we do that unconsciously. So when we're consciously manifesting, it does feel a little bit trickier sometimes, because there's probably more expectations on yourself, on the universe, to, you know, make it happen, because that is what you're actively working towards. So in my books, I actually teach a 5-step method, which I think breaks it down so easy for everybody. And in the third step, so the first step is ask, where you ask for your desires and ask for clarity, because the universe is a divine mirror. This is a co-creation process. So you don't just want to say, I want to manifest money, because otherwise, you know, £10 could turn up on your kitchen counter. Yeah. And you're like, I wanted £1,000. So it's important to be, you know, clear and concise with what you're setting as an intention. The second step is believe, which is one of the original steps as well, which is going into the inner world, looking at the subconscious mind and any resistance or blocks that stands in between you and your desire. So what stops you from manifesting that here and now? The third step is trust, which I think is what you're on about there. Mm-hmm. And is so important, because it is, yes, trusting in the process and trusting that the universe can bring that into your life. But it's also looking at your belief as well. Do you trust yourself to manifest that into your life? Do you trust that it's possible? And in this step, it's all about aligned and inspired action as well. So you know, the famous saying of the lottery is, you've got to be in it to win it. And the same with manifestation. You know, if you want to manifest a new job, you have to be putting yourself out there. You have to be, you know, putting your resume, your CV out there, making sure you've got the outfit for the interview, you know, get yourself on LinkedIn, applying for jobs. You know, you've got to be in the field of opportunity, so to speak. So definitely taking that aligned and inspired action is a great way to, you know, feel that process moving forward once you've worked through the second step of believe. But step four is let go. And I think this is another important step to what you're saying there, because again, we're taught to attach to our desires and want them. And unfortunately, that fourth step is letting go, which is actually surrendering the outcome. And it can kind of feel counterintuitive, because you're taught to ask, believe, trust, and then let it go to manifest it. And I think a lot of people think this is giving up, and it's definitely not giving up. It's more of a case of becoming okay with both outcomes, knowing that no matter what, your desire is going to come to you in the perfect time, in the perfect, you know, alignment. And it's really leaning into that. So I would definitely say, if anyone's struggling to trust the process and they are feeling impatient, or they're feeling that lack, then definitely look into that, because when you can identify where you are on that 5-step process, it will help you to say, right, okay, I'm in that trust step. So do I need to take action and meet the universe halfway? Or do I actually need to look at my mindset? Do I need to take a step back and let go?
Amazing. Honestly, like, do you know what though? It's like, going back to what you said, it's, you know, manifesting that job. I think a lot of people think that manifestation is like having superpowers. So they think, right, okay, I'm going to manifest that, I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to come across a grand today, and it's just going to magically appear. But it's not like that, is it? It's not just thinking, right, it's going to happen, but not doing anything about it. It's going to happen, but also you still have to go out and get it. It's going out and being proactive with that. And I think that's what I think a lot of people forget. It's almost like, I'm manifesting it, so it's going to happen, but you actually have to work for it as well. So I think that is really important to kind of remember as well, that yeah, okay, you can, manifestation is fantastic if you are proactive with it as well, rather than just relying on it being, right, it's going to happen because I manifested it. But yeah, so what are, I suppose, what is that kind of like a misconception? Like, are there, is that one of like the main misconceptions with manifestation? Do you feel like people always think that it's just going to happen if I manifest it?
Yeah, and I often joke that there's two types of manifestors, that you have your 10% manifestors, who are the people who are like, I'm going to win the lottery. And I'm like, great, how many times a week are you playing? How are you entering? And they're like, oh no, I'm not entering, I'm just going to win it. And then you have your 90% manifestors, which I am definitely an ex, one of these, who will be like, I'm going to make it happen, I'm going to get out there, I'm going to do all the action and all the things, and they're never letting go, and they're never allowing themselves to receive either, which is the fifth step. So yeah, definitely you tend to find that there's those two kind of ends of the scale. But I think either side can learn from the other. The 90%ers can learn how to let go a little bit more and trust from the 10%ers. And the 10%ers can learn how to take a little bit more aligned action and meet the universe halfway from those 90%ers. So yeah, I think definitely there seems to be that disconnection sometimes of doing too much or doing too little, but it definitely is that 50-50 sweet spot.
What do you feel is something that sticks in your head the most that you manifested that you can like give an example of?
Gosh, there's so much, Sam.
Really? So it like happens quite regularly with you. I'm so intrigued. Yeah. I would love to, like, is there anything in your mind that sticks out that you think that is what got you really into manifestation? Like, this actually can work.
Yeah, I would say the first thing for me was my health. I mean, over the last 8-9 years, I've manifested my now fiance, our house, buying our house last year, my dash hound Luna, money, career success, book deals, like you name it, like I've manifested it. And it is a daily regular practice. Like, I'm not sat there, you know, working hard every day, you know, writing out these intentions for hours. It's sometimes a 5-minute daily practice, that's it. But for me, you know, I set monthly goals. That's really important for me, you know, at the beginning of the month now. So for me, I've set my intentions and my manifestations for July. So I don't just create the vision board, which is, you know, a more long-term energy, and then just hope that's going to manifest. You know, I break it down into yearly goals, monthly goals, so that I'm seeing that regular abundance and regular manifestations in my life. But yeah, the first one for me that really changed the game for me was my health. So in 2016, when I found the law of attraction, I had depression, I had anxiety, and I'd had it for probably about 7 years at that point. And I tried medication, I tried CBT, I tried so much stuff, and nothing was really getting to the root or the kind of seeing long-term relief with that. So finding the law of attraction and actually learning how to have a positive mindset, how to love myself, and how to heal was huge for me. And even in, I think it was about 3 weeks later, I felt such a weight off my shoulders. I remember waking up not having anxiety belly for the first time in years. Wow. So for me, definitely my mental health will always be the best manifestation, because I think when we have that happiness and fulfillment within ourselves, you know, we're able to manifest so much more as well, and we feel better. And, you know, that is what life is about, feeling good and, you know, achieving the things you want to. So yeah, I would always say the health was the biggest thing for me.
I could not agree more on that. And I honestly, you're inspirational, Emma. Like, I so want to really get into manifestation. I'm going to be reading all your books, like just getting, I'm really inspired by you today. So thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully you inspired many people to get into manifestation as well. And you are the manifestation queen, right? So thank you so much for coming on. And I wish you many more manifestations.
Thank you so much, Sam. I'm excited to hear how you get on.
I'll keep in touch. Take care.
Bye.
So now it is time to answer some of your fitness questions. And specifically this week, we are, where myself is on the show, we're doing pre and postnatal focus. So we have next question. Is there any point in working out during pregnancy? Absolutely, yes. And I totally get this. And as we probably chatted with Lauren in the show earlier, it is one of them things where it's like, what is the point? You know, I'm going to get pregnant now. You know, I can just eat what I want. I can do this, that and the other. And yeah, okay, why not? You can do that. But also, you more than ever, you need to look after yourself. You're going to have to go through the biggest kind of workout and in giving birth. You need to prepare for that. And I think exercising during pregnancy is so important, because more so than keeping yourself fit and in preparation for birth, but mentally just giving yourself a little boost, because you go through the motions when you're pregnant, trust me. You go through every kind of emotion. And it is just a great way to give you a mental boost and get you prepared for birth as well. And if you want to work out during pregnancy, just make sure you're doing it safely. Follow a pre and postnatal fitness coach like myself, like Lauren. You know, there's lots of, there is so much out there that you can watch and follow along to. And it is, there is just so beneficial. I cannot recommend it enough. Next question. Do you need to work out differently once you've had baby than normal? Yes. So you can't, you can imagine, you've just gone on, undergone major, it's like a major surgery. So whether you, when you have a baby, obviously your body is just, I mean, you go through so much trauma, and particularly if you've had a C-section where, you know, you're, it's a huge surgery. So yes, of course, you need to be more gentle on your body. Naturally as well, you will, because you've got a newborn to look after. But you should always go to your doctor. You should be getting a check around 6 to 8 weeks after you've had a baby, and they'll check your abs. You could have ab separation. You can imagine your whole stomach's being opened. So, you know, you need to make sure that's formed back up. And they might, he might find there's issues with that. You need to do specific exercises to build that back up. The main overall thing that I will say is just start light, start low impact. I do these exercises with a lot of pregnant women and then postpartum as well. And we keep it low impact, but we keep it enjoyable. We keep it easy. You get it done around the kids. And I think that's what it is. It's not overthinking it and just going and being active in yourself safely. Go out for walks with the pram. Keep your mental health going. But yes, going back to it, you do need to work out differently, safely, and just make sure you get that sign off from the GP. And if he says that you've got certain ab separation or certain things, there are certain exercises that you can do to improve that. So we're going to do a roundup of the show. I honestly have had such a great time. Like, I've enjoyed it so, so much. I've really feel, I don't know, I feel like I've learned so much from the guests today. And I hope that you've enjoyed having me on, filling in for the lovely Gabby. She'll be returning, so I won't be a regular. But please, please download and listen to her show each week on Instagram as well with What The Health Show. It's all available on all good podcasting stations. But yes, I have loved, absolutely loved being on today. Hope you've enjoyed it, learnt lots, all health and fitness wise. And yes, I will be listening in to Gabby each week, and they'll be coming up each week following this as well. But have a great day, and yeah, go out and be the best fitness and wellness person you can be.